Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. The church is this weekend is celebrating Ascension Sunday. It's the day that Jesus finished his work on earth and then ascended into heaven, now to enjoy his eternal reward. It's the day that Jesus went away. I think that's how many people, most of us, will think of Ascension Sunday. But and you can see that in classical descriptions of Ascension Sunday. In artwork down through the ages. The classical sort of stained glass window of the Ascension or artwork of the Ascension is that you see a group of apostles staring, looking up into the sky with awe, and you see a cloud, and then the feet of Jesus, you know, sticking out from the cloud, and he's being taken by this cloud into heaven. That's kind of like the classical depiction of the Ascension. And one day, yes, he did promise in the distant future to come back again. But there is really a lot more to the Ascension than this. And I think today's second reading gives us a clue as to what that is. The second reading says, "God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand, far above all rulers and authorities, powers, dominions, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, making him the head of all things." And so to say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, that's just a symbolic way of saying that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And in the ancient world, the Jews would have really understood that, because in the ancient world, all the Jews knew and everyone knew that the person seated at the right hand of the king, that he was the one in whom the king invested all his power, that he was the one who directed all the concrete affairs of the day, of the state on behalf of the king. So Jesus being at the right hand of the Father means that he's the one directing all things in heaven and earth on behalf of the Father, and that all power has been given to him. All power has been given to him, and there's no authority and no power in heaven or on earth, whether angelic or human, that is greater than his. That's one interesting aspect about the Ascension. The other interesting aspect is that in ancient warfare, even up until quite recently, until about the 19th century or so, commanders of armies would usually try first to seize the higher ground. They would do this so they could survey the totality of the battlefield. And from the high ground, they could assess the ebb and the flow of the battle. They could make adjustments and direct their campaign. So Jesus ascending into heaven, in a sense, is taking the high ground. He's taking up a place of command from which he is going to direct all the work of the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be promoting, obviously, the kingdom of God more and more in the world. Promoting the kingdom of God refers to promoting the values and the attitudes, the teachings of heaven, so that God's will may be done on earth as in heaven. That's what the kingdom of God is all about, that God's will be done in our hearts and on earth and in society as it is in heaven. And this is a work that Jesus wants to accomplish with and through his church, with and through you and me. It's not something he's going to do all by himself, but together with us and our cooperation. He plainly tells that to the apostles today. In the gospel, the apostles ask Jesus a question, and they say, "Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Notice they're saying, in other words, is this something that you, by yourself, are going to accomplish here and now? And Jesus says, "No, not by myself, but with your help." He answers them, he says, "It's not for you to know the times and periods the Father has set by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." In other words, you will, through your witness to me, through your cooperation with the work of the Holy Spirit, you will be the ones to bring the kingdom of God's reign here on earth, to bring his reign to others. There's an ancient sort of legend about Jesus' ascension into heaven, which kind of illustrates this point. According to this legend, when Jesus ascended into heaven, in heaven, his body still had the wounds of his passion and his crucifixion. The angels were astounded at how much he suffered. And so the angel Gabriel rose up and said to Jesus, "Do all the people on earth know and appreciate how much you went through for them and how much you love them?" And Jesus said, "Oh no, just a handful of people in Palestine know. The rest of the world has not even heard of me." And Gabriel was shocked to hear this, and he said to Jesus, "Well, how will the rest of the people on earth ever learn of your suffering and love?" And Jesus said, "Well, before I left, I told Peter, James, and John, and all my friends to go out and tell others about me and invite them to become friends with me. They will tell as many people as they can. Those people, in turn, will tell others. Parents will tell their children. And in this way, the whole world, from one generation to the next, will come to know me and my love for them." And at this point, Gabriel looked really confused and concerned. He knew how fickle humans can be, and he said, "But Lord, what if Peter, James, and John, and the others grow tired or frustrated? What if they forget? What if they become distracted by all the other things the world has to offer? What if they begin to have doubts? Do you have a backup plan just in case? Did you take this into consideration?" And Jesus said in this legend, he said, "I did take all those things into account, but I decided against a backup plan. This is the only plan I have. I am counting on Peter, James, and John not to let me down. And I'm counting on the people they will tell not to let me down." And so 2,000 years later, Jesus still has no other backup plan. He counted on Peter, James, and John, Mary Magdalene, Martha, Lazarus, Paul, Stephen, Apollos, Barnabas, all his friends in the first century, and they did not let him down. And today, in the 21st century, he's counting on you and on me to share our belief in Jesus and our love for him with others. So Ascension Sunday is the day that Jesus left the earth in order to go into heaven. But it's much more than that. Before leaving, his apostles and friends, he passed on the baton to them to continue the race he started, to continue his work on earth. Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, meaning he has been given all authority in heaven and earth, and from this high ground in heaven, he's still directing the work of the church on earth down through the ages through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it means that each one of us, each human being, has a fundamental choice to make and to renew every day. And the choice is, what am I going to live for today? Am I going to wake up today and live for myself, or am I going to live for Jesus? Am I going to choose to forget about and ignore Jesus today and his will for me? Am I going to work only to achieve and do what I want, to fulfill my plans and my desires? Am I going to be indifferent and ignore God's desires for me? That's one choice, and that's the path that the devil tempts us most often with. He doesn't sort of tempt very many people to murder or do really egregious things in life, but he does tempt them to simply ignore God and live only for themselves. The other choice is, am I going to wake up today and choose to live for God and to try to fulfill his plans and desires for my life today? That is the plan that Jesus is counting on us to renew and fulfill in our lives. And so let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us daily to do what she did so well, and that is to wake up each day and to really live our lives for her Son. Because by doing this, not only will we be walking along the path that leads to the kingdom of heaven, but our own lives will be more meaningful and more fulfilled.